Okay, we're back with another episode of Inside Rock. This time it's Motley Crue, part two.
Why are you laughing?
What, am I laughing?
Yeah, you're chuckling through it.
What?
I thought you were kind of coughing through it.
Are you drunk?
What are you doing?
He
was laughing.
I know he was.
I didn't know he was laughing.
Oh, by the way, when I said in order to prepare for this podcast, we should drop some acid tonight, you didn't really do it, did you?
I think he did.
Notice I have the terminology right? Drop. We're going to drop some acid.
Yeah, what's up with that? What does that mean, actually?
Well, if you drop it, how the hell are you supposed to do it?
Where'd it go?
But I got it right, didn't I?
I think you guys are on acid. Like, what the hell is going on? Let's get started with this podcast.
We haven't done, like any pot or anything lately.
No, I told you, I don't do that stuff.
Anymore.
Not after the last episode.
He tripped out on us.
Well, he gave me the popcorn. He didn't tell me it was laced with hyperbolic freaking
butter. Oh, we told you. You wanted it in. Well, you just ate too much.
You know when you eat popcorn, you just don't need one or two. You eat popcorn.
Well, it's a tiny little bag.
Yeah.
You were lightweight.
Oh, yeah. This is Mr. Two Gummy Limit.
Are you kidding me? I was fucked up on that stuff.
Yeah, but that's because you were drinking liquor with it.
Yeah, I was half in the bag before I took them. Anyway.
When you started drooling all over your keyboard, was a kind
I couldn't
of
form a
clue.
Sentence.
No.
Hey, one more thing. No. What about the time when we bought a tub of Oreo ice cream and you and I ate the whole thing?
I had no part of that, by the way.
That was good.
Wasn't that good?
That was really good.
I couldn't believe again. You guys ate that whole thing. I can't believe
I ate the whole thing.
You ate it, Ralph.
Yeah.
Remember that? Alka-Seltzer.
Okay.
So right now, everybody's saying, what in the fuck are these guys talking about?
It was an Alka-Seltzer commercial. That's a great commercial.
Okay, Motley Crue part two. There was too much to do in part one, and there was some weird stories that we just had to get out.
So is this like 1983 to 91?
Sort of, the back end. We finished off with Dr. Feelgood album last time. But, I mean, we started to get into some of the stories about their legal issues and all that stuff.
And yeah, I think they had troubles, man.
Yeah, you mentioned something to me about 1988, happened.
Yeah, so in 89, Dr. Feelgood's released. But the year before that, I think we mentioned in the first part that Nikki Sixx, I mean, he had a big problem with drugs, right? Heroin, and he was a druggie, man. And so he had that car accident in 1987, remember?
Where he killed the guy?
Well, no, that was Vince Neil. No.
Oh, sorry.
That was the other guy. No.
What a life these guys lead.
He was legally dead, and they had to revive him. And that's where they got the inspiration for Kickstart My Heart, because they had to... Anyway, it was a year after that. I guess that drew a lot of bad press. So in 1988, there's a guy called Matthew Tripp, and he filed a lawsuit against Motley Crue because in 1988, Sixx was hospitalized again after a car crash involving drugs. And this guy was hired as a doppelganger to replace him.
Secretively. Yeah, they didn't publicize it.
Actually, I got that story a little bit wrong. It wasn't 88. It was 83. I apologize. It was 83.
Oh. Well, if you figure three is half an eight.
Well, it's just that in 1988, Tripp filed the lawsuit. So it was 5 years later. Because he was waiting to be paid and get royalties for the time he spent with the band, doubling for Nikki Sixx.
Hmm.
And they stiffed him, I guess. And so he took him to court. The charges were eventually dropped by Tripp for some unknown reason, and then he disappeared really from view from all public
view.
Well,
he probably got paid off.
Yeah.
Here's your $300,000, and there's a few women in the back room. Have at her.
Yeah, and get out of here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Don't bother us anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, these guys were like the bad boys of glam metal. That's what they were known as. I mean, they're brutal, man. So after Dr. Feelgood, what did they do?
Well, they did a big tour.
Oh, massive tour.
Yeah, a massive tour. And then after the tour, this 89 and most of 90 was the tour.
Yeah.
And then they released their compilation album.
Yeah, so... I mean, I looked up the meaning of decade of decadence. So decadence, what does decadence actually mean?
I thought that was like chocolate.
Well, decadence is like over and above indulgence.
There
and,
you go.
So the definition is moral or cultural decline is characterized by excessive indulgence in pleasure or luxury.
There you go.
So they called their compilation album, which was fitting, Decade of Decadence, which was 81 to 91.
Yeah.
So
their behavior was a little suspect.
Yeah. So they decided to come up with a compilation album, something for the fans, they said, because they were planning on releasing another studio album, but they knew they had some things to do and get in order before they did, so they put out a compilation album.
You know,
great
that,
album,
that,
too, by the
that
way.
That peaked at number two, in the Billboard 200?
It did. It did, yeah.
So that was a decade of decadence.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another period of years after that called the Years of Turmoil. So
oh
it didn't
gosh,
get
yeah.
any better.
No,
now,
it
just
didn't.
Before that started, somebody left the band, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of fighting. These guys were at each other now, and Vince Neil decided, I'm out of here.
February of 1992.
Well, they're saying, if you ask him, he was let go. Yes, other guys, he left.
The words quit and fired were brought up in the fight in the studio. I quit, you're fired. But I think ultimately it was a mutual thing, and he left.
Yeah.
Right, Cha?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like I said, it was fired and quit amongst a bunch of fuck yous.
Neil insists he was fired to this day.
He was fired. He actually, Vince Neil said, I'm kind of paraphrasing, he said, the managers just let the most popular band in rock break up.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? We touched on that the first part.
Yeah.
Come on. You can only blame managers for so much, but.
Oh, they
come
are.
On.
Can you imagine managing those fucking
Let's
guys?
Do that. No. Like I said, herding butterflies, dude. That would be easier.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure would be fun, though.
Okay, so now they had a vacant frontman position. What'd they do?
Yeah, so they had auditions, but ultimately the spot went to John Corabi. He was former lead singer of Angora and The Scream. And, you know, although the 1994 self-titled album, Motley Crue, with this new singer. I don't know. I guess a lot of fans didn't take to it. How can you replace Vince Neil? I think it peaked at what, number 7 on Billboard?
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Not compared to what they've been doing, though.
Yeah, but I mean, only because it was Motley Crue, right? But mixed reviews, and ultimately the fans didn't take to this new guy. You can't replace Vince Neil. There's just no way.
Yeah, you know what? I thought the same thing about David Lee Roth, but they had some major
Sammy.
Success.
No, Sammy's awesome.
Well, I still like Van Halen to me is only with David Lee Roth. But
see, I like Sammy.
I'm just saying that
I know.
That was band.
A lot
one
of people
band.
Feel the same way.
Yeah, like Dave's going, oh, this band's going to suck.
Yeah.
Just get off topic a little bit because you brought up David Lee Roth. I just watched a video on YouTube. Did you see the video where they had a reunion with David Lee Roth and they were playing
outside
and he hit himself in the head in the nose with the mic stand? You know he does that spinny mic stand thing, David Lee Roth, his signature move. He does it, whacks him right across the bridge of the nose.
Oh.
And he's bleeding. He's bleeding. He's trying to sing, and he's going through the motions. But you can see he keeps touching his nose. He's freaking bleeding. He cut his nose open. So they actually had to stop. He had to go back, get this big bandage across his face. It was awkward. it was awkward.
But besides that, though, Dave is awesome.
Diamond Dave. Yeah, Diamond Dave. But you know what also what's funny is Vince Neil, when he quit the band, he released an album a year before Motley Crue released theirs with their new singer, an album called Exposed in 1993. And what was the other one called, Sean? The other album? It was called Carved in Stone.
Yes.
That was in 1995. So he released two albums in a pretty short period of time. But again, without... You know, the boys backing them, it just wasn't, it wasn't successful, really.
No.
So, anyway, so the band, ultimately, do you want to move on from Corabi?
Yeah.
I mean, that was his only album.
Well, Corabi also said, he says, you know, I think the band's better with Vince Neil.
Yeah, and that's...
that's pretty
well,
bad.
You know what? It's great of him to say that, too. Like, I'm not doing this. I'm not, you know...
And they agreed with him and fired him.
Okay. Don't let the door hit you in the ass.
Yeah, that's it.
So,
yeah.
They reunited, what, in 1997 with Vince Neil and the boys reunited.
Yeah. And that was after Neil's manager and the band's manager set up the meeting and pretty much said, okay, Green, you guys got to agree to leave your egos at the door if this is going to work.
Yeah, right. Managing that band, we mentioned, who'd want that gig?
It's a fucking nightmare.
I mean, they had two managers before. I wanted to mention this before. McGee and Thaler. Yeah. And McGee was fired because the guys found out that he was managing also a pretty big band at the time, Bon Jovi.
Mm-hmm.
And at the there was a festival in Moscow. It's called the Music Peace Festival. And he gave Bon Jovi a top spot in that festival over Motley Crue. So it was a conflict of interest. So they said, shh, you're out of here. So Thaler became the sole manager after that, up until this point here.
Right. Right. Actually, when they did get back together, I don't even remember this album, Generation Swine.
Yeah, not a clue.
Well, it didn't do very well.
Yeah, not a clue. You know, after Dr. Feelgood, I lost touch with
him,
really.
Yes, yeah, I think I did too.
Until we went to see him. We'll get to that.
Well, yeah. Generation Swine was 1997.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Right. That's where we are right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? So that was the album that they reunited for, right?
Yep. Yes, yeah. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? You think of something like that happening? Surprising, it didn't do very well.
Especially with a big, band being reunited like that.
After a number of years. It's huge.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, if you're a Crue fan, it's like, wow, they're back together. You think
that's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe a lot of the stories everybody heard.
Well, I mean, like you said, it didn't do as well. So they're looking for a way to jumpstart things again. And they put together Greatest Hits in 1998. But they included two new songs. Bitter Pill and Enslaved, and just trying to get things moving again.
Yeah, so whose idea was it to put these bonus tracks on there? The bands or what?
Well, their contracts with Elektra, the label, they had expired, putting the band at total control of the future, including the ownership of the master recordings. Like, the Crue is like one of the only artists to actually own the masters of their material and reportedly did so by being the biggest pain in the asses. Because Elektra just got fed up and just, we just want you off our label. You can have the masters. It's all yours. We just want you out of our hair.
Well, I'm sure that they were somewhat liable too, right? For some of the shit they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then so the Crue made their own label. It's called Motley Records. So they, no wonder why they're putting out, they're re-releasing albums and stuff. Now it's all their stuff, all their dough.
Well, and I guess they started to get desperate because even 1999, they released all their albums over again.
Yeah.
For the love of God, someone buy an album.
they called it Crucial Crue. They were limited edition digital masters, including demos, live stuff, instrumentals.
See, that's pretty cool.
Previously unreleased tracks. So they just threw everything at the wall. Let's see if something sticks.
So this is the time where Tommy Lee is with Pamela Anderson now. Now Tommy Lee's been married, what, three times?
Who knows?
Two times before.
I'm not even sure
before
he knows.
Pamela Anderson. He was married to a woman called, I forget her name, Elaine Starchuk. That's her name. And he was only married to her for a year. This was early on. And then he married, everybody knows, Heather Locklear. Right?
Wow, he did marry her.
He married her.
What are these girls thinking?
So he married her.
Heather Locklear's like gorgeous. Like, you think Tommy Lee's going to stop sleeping with every girl who comes backstage on tour?
Well,
no.
Exactly. Like, why would you marry the guy? Like, what are you thinking?
Well, she married him in 1986. And
well, she married another rock star too,
Richie Sambora.
Yeah,
right after she broke up with Tommy Lee.
But they
were married until 1993, and then they were divorced. And then Tommy Lee met Pamela Anderson in February of 1995. 4 days later, they got married.
He's an idiot. And so is she. Everybody's an idiot.
What the hell
is going on?
Yeah. So I mean. When you think of Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson, what do you think of?
Oh, their whole movies.
Their two beautiful children they have together. Or yeah, that's right. The sex tapes.
That's it.
You know, everybody remembers the sex tapes.
Can you imagine having those two as parents? Like, what the hell?
Well, I mean, that sex tape was leaked to the media in 1995, the first year they were married. And
is that the one where they're on the boat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you saw it.
Just check our show notes. We'll put a link to the porn video for you. Right. But anyway.
Gotta tell you, dude, he's well equipped.
Oh, really?
I thought he was getting ready to play baseball. I wasn't sure. But anyway.
Dude, seriously.
Oh, man. But
well, I guess that answers my question, why all these girls married him then.
There you go.
There.
So Tommy Lee contends that the tape was stolen by a construction worker that worked for International Entertainment Group production company. And Tommy Lee sued IEG in the late 90s, and they settled out of court. You know that was the best thing to happen to both of them. Well, really?
They're household names.
Oh, unbelievable.
For all the wrong reasons, but...
Gosh.
Yeah. Good old Pamela. But nice, good old wholesome Canadian girl.
There you go. Baywatch.
Baywatch, that's right. That's where she got her bouncy start.
Just want to slap him, don't I? What? What happened?
Did you just say that?
What? No.
The screams.
All right.
Okay.
Moving on.
It wasn't me who screamed. Sorry, I'm referring to a weird and wacky episode. Oh. The Screaming Tunnel.
Yeah, you got to go listen to that episode.
Sure, I just couldn't make a coherent sentence.
It was hilarious.
But I wanted to get all my points across.
It wasn't me who screams. That's the best.
All right.
I laugh at that.
All right.
Sorry. Okay, anyway. So what happened after the porn video? Sorry, where do we go from there?
I don't know. We've lost track here. All right, so how long were they married? They were married for how long? Enough to have two kids, anyway.
They divorced in 1998.
Wow, that's a record. What's that, 4 years?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah. Yeah, three and a bit. Because they met in February, early in the year. So. Oh, yeah.
That's a... decent stretch for the likes of them, should I say?
I don't know.
No, really, right?
Who knows?
Oh, by the way, can I bring up something? It's a little, it's kind of music related because it's Dan Aykroyd here. He's Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
All right, good. You know how he's been married to that actress?
Donna Dixon.
Donna Dixon.
Forever.
Yeah.
They're splitting.
No.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Come on.
I was devastated. Like, those two are great, man. Like,
they met on the set of Dr. Detroit.
Detroit,
yeah. And then they did the movie Spies Like Us together.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of stuff. Yeah, that's a shame. That's gorgeous, by the way.
And she's still gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous.
But I've always used those two as an example. Like, look at, like, you know?
But it's like Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell splitting up. Well, it just can't happen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well... Dan, poor Dan, they're going separate ways.
Yeah, another good Canadian boy, Dan Aykroyd.
Why bother? Why?
Well.
Why bother what?
Why split up?
Oh.
You know?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
You
have to ask them.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, it's just strange.
Well, that's too bad. That's bad news.
Yeah, it is bad news.
That's not good.
I just wanted to let you guys know.
We could have used that in the music, in the news at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go, Cha.
I'll say it again.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Everybody stay tuned, because you're going to hear it again from Cha. Gary Gnu. All right, so let's skip ahead to 1999. I guess tensions were pretty high between Vince Neil and Tommy Lee. And Tommy Lee decided to quit the band. Only it wasn't him that quit the band. His lawyer told the band that he quit.
Oh, he didn't even tell them himself.
No, he didn't tell them. No.
He just got a call from the lawyer. Tommy's not coming in today.
Yeah, they got a call. Yeah, that's right.
He's not coming back.
Yeah. And Vince Neil said, well, we really weren't rehearsing or anything at the time. And
good riddance.
Yeah, see you later. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah, and they were the buddies in high school that, started it all. It's a shame.
So now they're without a drummer.
Now they're without a drummer. So who do they get?
Randy.
Randy Castillo.
From Ozzy.
Yeah, so, you know, we've talked about that. They were buddies with Ozzy Osbourne, and they did some crazy stuff together with him, too. But, yeah, so they brought in Randy Castillo as a drummer, and they recorded the new album called New Tattoo.
Right.
That was in July of 2000.
2000, yeah.
Yeah. So... What happened to Castillo?
Well, just before the tour started for the album,
yeah,
Castillo complained of some stomach pains.
Yep.
And he went in, he was diagnosed with an ulcer.
Yeah, pretty significant ulcer.
Yeah, what do they call it? Duodenal ulcer.
Yeah.
That's nasty. Nasty.
Well, and so what they did, they actually brought in, they substituted another drummer. This was a girl. Her name is Samantha Maloney. She was the former Hole drummer, the band Hole.
Right.
Yeah, so they brought her in for the Maximum Rock Tour. What am I saying?
Yeah.
That was with Megadeth.
Megadeth, yeah.
What a concert that must have been.
So they were touring with Megadeth?
Yeah, that's what it, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I know.
That'd be, what a tour that would be.
Oh, dude, I'd want the nosebleed seats.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine being down on the floor for Megadeth and Motley Crue?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're waiting for Castillo to have a surgery and get better. But then during the course of his, surgery and healthcare and everything, they found a tumor in his jaw.
Yeah.
Ended up to be cancerous, and he died in March of 2002.
Isn't that brutal?
Boom. Didn't take long, right?
Jeez, those are like drummers.
Well, they're an odd bunch.
Not cancer. What's with those drummers?
Seriously, man. I can think of a handful of drummers that have, died, before their time.
Yeah.
Terrible.
So they went on, after that, they said, you know what, okay, we just got some bad luck. Let's just take a break. So they went on a bit of a hiatus for a couple of years to try to get their shit together.
And during their time off, let's call it, the band members did different projects. What did Vince Neil do, Cha?
Well, he was featured on the first season of, there was a VH1 reality show. I don't really remember it, but there's the Surreal Life, and it had his own special title. They gave him a special title. It said Remaking Vince Neil, and it focused on his solo career and attempts to get him in better physical shape.
Yeah, he gained a lot of weight, man.
Yeah, he did kind of balloon up a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And also Six, he played some side projects. One was called 58. The other one was Brides of the Destruction.
Brides of Destruction.
Brides, what did I say?
Of the Destruction.
Very good. Very good.
I'm there for you, Chuck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And Tommy Lee went on to form a band, Methods of Mayhem, and also performed as a solo artist during this time. So they all kept kind of busy doing stuff. Didn't just sit back collecting royalties, you know what I mean? They kept busy.
But then the inevitable happened.
Well, before that, there's also in 2001, there was an autobiography titled The Dirt. It was co-authored by all four of the band members and Neil Strauss. And it actually did pretty well on the New York Times.
Yeah.
It was bestseller.
One of the top 10, the top 10 anyway. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you guys seen that movie?
Well, based on the novel?
Based on the band.
Well, it's called The Dirt. It's based on the autobiography.
Well, that's the... Oh, is it?
Well, yeah. The book is called The Dirt, and Netflix came up with that movie called The Dirt.
So it's based on
the book.
The only reason I brought it up, because I haven't seen it.
I haven't watched it yet either, and I was going to watch it before we did this show, but I thought, you know what? I think I'll wait till after.
You said, I think I'll watch the Flintstones.
Actually, Green Acres.
Green Acres.
Oh, my God. I've had that song in my head, and I can't get it out of my head.
Don't make me sing it.
Don't sing it.
Hey, what happens when Miss Piggy kicks Kermit in the nuts?
Green Acres.
He gets Green Acres.
I don't get it.
Kermit gets Green Acres.
When
wow, how bad is that?
When Miss Piggy
Green Acres. I don't get it. Dude, I don't get it.
Wow.
I don't get it.
Right, we'll let that one fester.
No, explain the stupid joke.
His nuts are aching. They're acres.
Green acres.
And he's green.
His acres?
Yeah.
Nah, it's stupid. Fuck, man. And this is why. And this is why Cha has no sense of humor.
It wasn't a very good joke.
All right,
I thought it was pretty good.
Okay, well, there you go.
Let's move on,
please. So anyway, after all their solo stuff, what happens?
They're reunited. I mean, they're going to reunite again.
Yeah,
the reunion tours,
2004.
Yeah. Well, when did you guys see them?
Well, I was like around 2008,
I guess.
Nine?
It must have been. It was the Saints of Los Angeles tour.
Yeah, we saw them in a Hamilton place. Yeah, we mentioned that.
Yeah. After reading all this, like, you guys are lucky you saw them as a band still, like the four of them.
That was Cops Coliseum we saw them at.
You're right. It was Cops Coliseum.
Hamilton Place is too small.
No, it's too small.
Crew.
We saw Yes at
Hamilton Place. Yeah.
That's right. No, you're right. It was Cops.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but you're right. We are lucky we got this.
Yeah, unbelievable. You saw them as a band, as a whole band, original.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Even lucky that they're all alive. Like, my God, man, you're lucky.
I know.
I know.
I know. Believe me. And the opening bands were so good. Like, I always say that Theory of a Dead Man. I mean,
they were awesome.
Oh my God, they were so good. Yeah, I love Theory. I've got everything by them now after that show.
Do you have any video of the crew concert?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
This is before video on cell phones.
It wouldn't stop him. He'd have a whole shoulder cam going.
Beta cam.
Yeah.
All right, no
Super
video.
VHS.
That sucks. Yeah, he should have. You know, they didn't allow that back then. You couldn't record anything.
That was like, 12, 13 years ago?
That's because they could stop you back then. Like,
how do you sneak in a shoulder cam?
Yeah, like,
yeah, I know.
I'm with the band.
Yeah. Like GoPros, they can go into some orifices, really. They're so small.
Is that right?
I don't know what kind of weird ass orifices you're talking about.
I'm just saying it's harder to stop people nowadays.
You're right.
Yeah.
Let's just go with that. So they get back together.
Yeah. A promoter in England, Mags Revel.
Says, come on, boys, you need to get back together for a reunion.
Yeah.
So they actually do get back together. And one of the gigs they had was a special presentation, a New Year's Eve presentation, 2004, on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And while the band is playing, Vince Neil, during a song, turns around to Tommy Lee and says, Happy fucking New Year, Tommy.
That's right.
And the NBC freaked out. The FCC had an investigation. It was heard on the East Coast, but it was edited out on the West Coast because it was live on the East Coast. And they ended up suing NBC, saying that, you know what? You're not treating us fairly. There's other people who have done it. Other people have used that word and on your network, and you didn't do anything to them. And now you're treating us unfairly.
It is true. I mean, so why all of a sudden? Because it's Motley Crue? Because they have a history?
Yeah.
They probably said, you know, okay, we're going to have you guys on, but you got to be on your best behavior. Because let's face it, they got a history.
Yeah,
of being assholes,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So they probably had, so they knew. I mean, Vince Neil, he said he got caught up in the moment.
There's a YouTube report on that. I'll include that link in the show notes.
So Motley Crue dropped an F-bomb. They're lucky he didn't, like, set the studio on fire. Like, what the hell do they expect?
That was their best behavior.
Exactly.
Really.
Anyway, the lawsuit was eventually settled out of court, and the band eventually made several subsequent appearances on NBC. So
Claimed it affected their ticket sales and everything else, right?
Because they settled out of court.
They were supposed to appear on Carson Daly, and that show was canceled the following week.
Right? Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
So they just kept on being the crew. Legal issues, good thing. I bet the lawyers loved them.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? For sure.
Yeah, call a lawyer.
You know, we could probably just continue talking about, you know.
Oh, there's so many stories. I mean, if you want to know more, just Google it, or watch the movie, The Dirt. And I'm sure there's more in there.
Yeah, the dirt. I'm going to check that out. Got to check that out. You know, it's funny. They said in the documentary, they don't even mention in there the original singer. Because Vince Neil was recruited as a fourth member. There was an original singer. His name was Odin Peterson.
Right.
And they don't even mention him.
Well, they offered it to Vince Neil first, and he turned him down. And then eventually he accepted. So they had this guy before Vince Neil actually accepted.
Well, this guy didn't fit in anyway. Matter of fact, Tommy Lee said he was too hippie-ish. He had hippie-ish attitudes. So they toasted him. Can you imagine?
I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know. He was a hippie guy, I guess.
Anyway, they finished off with their, Saints of Los Angeles
tour?
Yeah,
we saw that.
2008 to 2010. Yeah, we saw them somewhere in there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But that's the crew. That's the crew.
They are a motley crew.
They certainly are.
They certainly live up to their name. There's no question about it.
So are we going to finish off with the news?
Yeah, you know what?
What?
I was just flipping through some news, right? And I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of looking at Rihanna's gut.
Rihanna's gut?
Oh, she's pregnant.
For God's sakes,
have the frick spit the thing out so we don't have to see your big gut.
Wow, there's going to be some hate mail coming our way.
Come on.
So anyway, for the news, this is the third week of May 2022.
So he's just... He just keeps talking.
I just want to put.
I'm just saying. I'm done. Like, it's great you're pregnant, but
you pay no attention to
this. So this isn't live. This isn't live. So when we air the show, you're going to hear, I'm sick of it. Beep. He's looking at beep, beep, fat, beep, beep, beep. That's what it's going to sound like.
You guys censor me?
Not that you know of.
Well, yeah. Well, you don't listen to the show after anyway.
Right. Well, I got a first news story.
Okay, go ahead.
Right.
Hey, you know Vangelis?
Vangelis.
Vangelis? Whatever. Guys, how many times has he corrected us?
Well, because his name's Van fucking Jealous. That's why.
All right, that's
valid. He did the score for Chariots of Fire.
All right, that's valid.
Yeah.
Valid. Vangelis.
All right.
Vangelis.
Sorry for yelling. I apologize.
Everyone, it's a little loud.
Yeah, I apologize.
Everyone, it's Vangelis.
Very good, Chuck. Good pronunciation. Yeah.
Anyways, he's dead.
And we're all laughing.
Wow, seriously, he's died. I remember my as a teenager, I used to get together with my few buddies. We used to. This guy was great. It was great music.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was 79. He passed away, unfortunately. So.
Did he say of what? Yeah. No, I guess it doesn't say.
They're not going to tell you.
No.
Well, especially
they
now.
They found a GoPro up his scrotum. I don't know.
How do you go up a scrotum?
I don't know.
With a little bit of lube.
Is he looking for the gerbil?
Oh, come on.
I'm again.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you.
What?
That we missed a big money-making opportunities. Gerbil farm in Ohio. Not joking. Seriously. Anyway.
I think that opportunity is still available.
Vangelis. I never knew it was Vangelis.
Well, you do now.
I'm going to fact check. How do you fact check that? Like,
ask me.
Yeah, right. Well, okay.
Okay.
All right. You got any news there, Gary? Something else Creek should probably be all excited about. Judas Priest confirms KK Downing will attend the Rock Hall ceremony.
Yeah.
And he should be there.
Yeah, regard. Put your differences aside.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, when we spoke about Priest a little bit, I never realized that that's one of the few bands, there's not too many of them, that use two lead guitarists.
Oh, yeah. Thin Lizzy did it as
Thin
well.
Thin Lizzy, right, right.
So did the Eagles, as a matter of fact.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a great sound.
That's right.
Leonard Skinner, Rosington Collins, they did it.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
It's just a great sound.
It is a good sound.
Yeah.
Particularly in Priest, but
oh yeah, they anyways, had a great sound.
Yeah, he'll be there, so that's good to know. What do you got? You got anything? Gary?
Well, I'm looking at on this day in music, 1979, May 19th, Eric Clapton throwing a party at his house in Surrey, celebrating his recent marriage to Patty Boyd. But he had set up a small stage in the garden, and as the evening progressed, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr ended up jamming together.
Wow.
Along with Ginger Baker and Mick Jagger. They were doing songs by Little Richard and Eddie Cochran. Isn't that great?
Where else are you going to see that?
Now, the thing is, it's a shame, too, that John Lennon wasn't there because he was still alive, right? 79. He didn't die until the next year. That would have been, what a reunion that would have been.
Huh.
But he wasn't there, apparently. He was too busy, I think, in bed with Yoko or something.
Taking pictures.
Yeah, something like that.
Rolling around with sheets.
Yeah.
Being political. Playing Scrabble.
Is that it for the news?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, hey, something else you mentioned, Eric Clapton. Yeah. Did you know he got a COVID shot? I guess that's messed up his nervous system a bit.
The vaccination, yeah. Yeah, he put out a video speaking out against it. It was nice to see that video. This is a while ago. This is like over a year ago.
Oh, really?
That video. And it screwed up. He can't even play the guitar. And you know what? In the video, he said after he got the vaccination, and then he started speaking out against it.
Yeah.
Nobody called him anymore. He was getting calls from friends all the time. Nobody calls him anymore.
Because he's an anti-vaxxer?
Yeah, they disowned him.
And guess what? 3 days ago, he tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah, probably not.
All right, let's move on. Leaves. We're going to wrap up this session of Inside Rock called Motley Crue Part 2 with Oat,
Queeks,
and Cha,
and the Jabber Guys. Remember to go to our website, jabberguys.com, to subscribe to our podcast, Inside Rock and Weird and Wacky World.